Welcome to the Pre-Post Film Review. I'm Matt Stevenson.
And I'm John Asquith. If this is your first time listening to the Pre-Post, or even if you're returning and you've just forgotten, the way we do things at the Pre-Post here is we talk about a movie over two distinct time periods. The first being the trailer for a movie. We analyze a trailer and talk about our expectations and maybe make a few predictions. And then we come back after we've seen the film itself and do a full review, and we jump straight into spoilers for that section. So you have been warned that we're going to jump into spoilers in the review section. In that section, we also compare, you know, to what our predictions were and sort of generally talk about the difference between trailers and finished products. And I mean, that's a general idea. I don't know if we always do that, but we try to. Anyway, this episode, we're going to be talking about the new Taika Waititi film, Thor Ragnarok. Let's just jump on into our trailer thoughts, Matt.
Now I know what you're thinking. How did this happen? Well, it's a long story.
Asgard is dead.
Hi there.
John, so we've just watched the trailer for the third film, Thor Ragnarok. We sort of typically don't talk about Marvel films on the podcast. We occasionally do. We tend to be a bit negative, at least on the business model of Marvel, even if we kind of want to like them and occasionally do. But this is a little bit different, given that it is directed by a director that we both really like, the Kiwi director Taika Waititi. So I'm curious, John, based on this trailer, do you think this will be a Marvel film that you love? Or do you think it'll be sort of the same as all the previous ones that we've kind of been a bit middling on?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the ultimate question, because the only reason we're talking about this is because of Taika is directing it. And I think the trailer suggests that he's bringing maybe enough to kind of to make it interesting and to make it feel a little different. It certainly suggests that there's a more comedic tone, I think, to the film. Although I'm curious how much of that carries over the whole thing, or maybe in this trailer we're just seeing the one-liners and then the rest of it is kind of a bit more typical Marvel stuff. I'm really, really interested to see whether it feels like the other Marvel movies or not, or whether even his like visual sense is quite different, you know, and I wonder whether how much he has to adjust that to make it feel like all the other films. So I mean, there's a few suggestions in there that there's some interesting kind of epic imagery. There's a couple of slow motion shots which look quite striking. I don't know, you know, the soundtrack of the trailer, whether or not this is indicative of the film or not, but you know, suggests a kind of playful, knowing sort of tone. So yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to say other than I'm curious. I guess the other thing I should say is I've missed a bunch of the more recent Marvel movies. I think the last one I saw was the second Avengers movie, and I haven't seen any since. Like, even the sort of more recommended ones, like I know Matt, you've seen Doctor Strange, and the more recent Captain America film was meant to be pretty good.
Oh,
as
Winter
well
Soldier,
I've just yeah Winter
oh
Soldier,
and there's
yeah.
the other one, bloody Civil War, man.
Oh
so
okay
big.
Well
yeah.
not Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, I was thinking of Winter Soldier, but you're right. There's been another one since. So I'm a bit scared I might be lost. I don't know how standalone this will be. And that's, I'm sure, you know, fans would say that's my fault. And it is, because they are all connected by this point. But I'd still like it to hold up, you know, as well as it can on its own. So we'll see.
Have you seen the other Thor films?
Nope.
Right. Nope. Okay, so going sort of completely fresh.
Yeah, really fresh. I've only seen Thor in the Avengers movies. That's it. So, I mean, the trailer, it looks kind of standalone.
Mm.
I mean, they're not showing like Tony Stark or any of the other Avengers. Or I mean, it just seems like Hulk, but who knows? I'm not sure. Anyway, those are sort of my general thoughts, Matt. What do you think after watching this trailer?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty optimistic about this. I've, as you said, seen most of, if not all, the Marvel films at this point, I think. And the Thor films have kind of been my least favourite. I didn't really think much of the first film and really actually disliked the second one. So the bar's quite low for this series. But I think this looks good. I'm hoping, as you said, that he can bring like a lighter tone and more comedy. Like it feels very much like it's going for a funnier vibe. Like it opens with the jokey dialogue and sort of ends on a joke, even if the middle is very punchy and CGI-y. I'm hoping that there's a lot more humour in it. I do kind of, just on a tangent, wish... I feel like that Hulk reveal is potentially a bit spoilery. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wish you sort of didn't know that he was in the film. And also, I do think it feels a little fanboy-y. Like, I don't understand. Like, it seems like Thor's on this other planet, and why is the Hulk there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It feels like... fan fiction is kind of what I'm trying to say. But who knows? There might be, you know, plot reasons that make sense once we see the film. I don't know. I think it looks pretty good visually. I don't think Taika's previous films have ever been like amazingly visual films. He's much more of a like character dialogue director. Not that his films ever looked bad. In fact, Hunt for the Wilder People has certain creative camera shots, like there's that rotating shot of the forest, things that are interesting. Sort of,
that's what I was thinking of earlier. That sort of zooms and sort of more stilted framing, intentionally kind of stilted framing and stuff like that.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, he kind of uses the frame to heighten the comedy in a lot of ways. Like, he's good at merging the form and the content together to make things funnier. So, you know, hopefully that all comes across. But I don't know. I mean, I guess if I'm being a bit pessimistic, I mean, Marvel doesn't have a great track record of letting directors' visions come through. You know, they seem to have a very strict style guide that all films need to adhere to. So I'm not expecting amazing differences. But I think it'll be fun. I just think this will be like a fun, hopefully funny time in the cinema. And I think I'll probably enjoy it more than the other two Thor films. That's my expectations.
Yeah, I think that's sort of what all you can hope for something like this.
Yeah.
I should also point out, Matt, that I lied earlier because I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm pretty sure we talked about it on this podcast.
That is true. And so Ant-Man.
I have seen... And Ant-Man. So I have seen a couple of the Marvel films since Age of Ultron. But... Yes. I don't know what that says about me or the movies that I forgot. I actually liked both of those movies, but I totally forgot that I had seen them. They were quite good and sort of individual, you know, amongst the kind of Marvel.
Yeah, I feel like bringing up Guardians of the Galaxy is a good point, because I feel like this is going for a more Guardians of the Galaxy-esque.
Yes, it feels much more in line with that.
Yeah.
Even the this sort of weird title treatment that's a lot of the marketing for Thor Ragnarok has kind of got that 80s sort of font and look to it.
Yeah, which I actually don't know if I like. It feels like it's jumping on the 80s bandwagon a little bit, the nostalgia bandwagon. But, you know, that's a bigger discussion we can have at another time.
Yeah.
Okay, so overall, we're both pretty positive, I'd say, right?
Looking forward to it? Yeah, definitely.
What have you brought today? Tell me.
A contender.
It's main event time. And now, I give you your incredible...
Yes! We know each other. He's a friend from work.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Got our hammers broken and our sparkly fingers ready. And we've seen Thor Ragnarok now, Matt.
We have.
So let's have a chat about it. Do you want to do that?
Good plan. I like it.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you your general thoughts before we get too specific. I think we were both sort of pretty optimistic in our trailer section. And we were hoping that this film would have some lightheartedness, you know, be pretty funny. We were a bit curious how Marvel-y it would feel. So I'm wondering, do you think... Taika Waititi's sort of individual style came through in this at all, or was it just another Marvel movie?
Well, I thought that this film was okay. I'd say I come down, I think it's average. I'd say probably underwhelming based on my expectations. It didn't quite meet my expectations. I think the best parts of this film are when Taika's humour is able to shine. And I give it credit for sort of allowing him to really go for some funny stuff. Particularly sort of there's a section in the middle where I think he plays this sort of like giant rock, blue rock monster that is just fucking hilarious. Like, I was crying with laughter in some of the lines. In that section. But, I mean, surrounding all that feels like the same Marvel stuff. I don't think he was able to really take it any place significantly different. And I think just as I think I said in the trailer section, the Thor films have just never worked for me. And I have the same problems here when we're back at Asgard or whatever the bloody city is. I could not care less. There's something about the Thor world that just is really off-putting to me. There's this weird mix of sci-fi and magical fantasy that just doesn't work. I just don't care. I don't know what's going on. There's like weird magical roads through the space, rainbow roads through space that I don't understand what's happening. You know, the fate of this city is meant to be hanging in the balance, and I just don't care. I don't know what that means. I don't care about any of their, like, cultural... None of it feels like it matters to me, basically. And that's the problem I had with the first two Thor films. I also just think it's... This is where the Marvel Universe... And maybe it's better fleshed out in the comics or something, but it sort of falls down for me in that it all seems to be based around... sort of science. I mean, cartoony science, but science and reality. And then you have Thor, which is like this weird god that doesn't seem to like fit in to that Marvel world. And I think that's probably where my problems stem from, because all this Asgard stuff just doesn't seem to fit with anything. That's just not my cup of tea. So basically I didn't really like any of that stuff, and I was a bit bored anytime we were at Asgard. But like I said, I enjoyed all the comedy stuff. The sort of visual design of the planet that Thor finds himself on was pretty cool for the most part, I think. I liked all of that. Some of the sort of like alien designs and costumes were quite cool. It does feel sort of very Guardians of the Galaxy-esque, but I think that it's kind of in a good way. So yeah, I don't know. In general, I would say underwhelmed, even though I had like a reasonably fun time with it. I think it's like sort of middle of the road movie. Fun enough while it lasted, but you know, I'm not going to be going back to watch it. And in terms of like Taika's filmography, it's probably like my least favorite of his films. but that's because I've really loved everything else that he's done. What about you, John? Did you like it a bit more than me, perhaps? Did you sort of rate it higher in the Marvel universe?
Potentially. Yeah, maybe slightly. I had a really fun time with this movie. And I think, I 100% agree that it's at its strongest when they've given him free rein to really insert some of his humor. And I was quite surprised to see the screenplay credits. He's not listed.
Interesting.
I know the Writers Guild has all these weird rules about, you know, who gets credit and stuff. He surely did some kind of uncredited rewrite on this, or at least, you know, heavily directed some of the scenes on the day, because it just, when the humor is allowed to shine through, it feels like one of his comedies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so strong and so funny. I totally agree about the character that he plays. It's just amazing. So good. And the fact that he's like this weird CG rock monster, but just has such a normal kind of Kiwi voice. And the way, the way he talks to everyone, I loved that. I also thought Chris Hemsworth did a really good job of his comedic moments. Not that I was surprised by that necessarily, because he was quite good in the Ghostbusters reboot. And there were a few little shorts that were released, Thor kind of shorts before this. I think I only saw one of them that Taika directed, and they were really funny too. So I think, yeah, on a comedy level, it really works. And that was sort of enough to keep me entertained for the most part. And as I think I probably said in the trailer section, I haven't seen a lot of the other Marvel movies, so I don't have too much to compare it to. But I would also agree about the action and the stakes. You know, I never felt them, and I didn't care. And I was a little bored by the end. It's a pretty long movie. It's like just over two hours. And the humor really helps it go along at certain points. But then as all these movies end up, you know, there's a big fight and there's lots of punching and slow motion flips and things like that. And I know they have to have that stuff. It's silly to complain about it, but it just doesn't really interest me that much. Having said that, though, there are a couple of things more towards the first half, a couple of cool images or compositions that I found inventive that I hadn't really seen before. There's one shot in particular where Thor throws his hammer in a circle around him. This is sort of in the opening sequence, and the camera is sort of fixed to the hammer as it circles around, and it's just hitting people. And I thought that was really cool. There's another shot later where he's sort of flying with it and this monster's chasing him, and it's against either a sunset or a bright light or something like that, and they're all silhouette. That was really cool. And then another specific moment was a Valkyrie, I forget the character's name, but she gives her backstory about how she lost a battle, and it's all very slow motion, almost Renaissance painting-esque looking when she's fighting Cate Blanchett. I thought that looked really cool. So there were a few little visual touches, so it wasn't all just boring action, but by the end it kind of is. I found it both standalone and also really confusing in terms of the storyline. It felt like, you know, I felt like, okay, there's all this stuff that's happened that I don't know about because I haven't seen the other movies. But then the more I watched it, I thought, actually, no, this is kind of standalone, and they're just introducing stuff as they go along. And I was really surprised at the reveal of Hulk and his the explanation for him being there was the last time we saw him, he was fighting Ultron or something like that.
Yeah, I think they mentioned Age of Ultron, which is the last Avengers film. But I have no memory of what happened to Hulk in that film. So
me neither.
Apparently he fell down some wormhole or something, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Has he? But he's been in movies since then.
I don't think he has, no.
Oh, okay, okay. Well,
I could be wrong.
It's still strange that he just like flew off to another planet. Yeah, I found that weird, and like you say, like the powers and things in this movie, just stuff just happens in this movie, and you know the this seems to be more and more a thing in superhero movies. It's just like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this now. Like this movie has a great sense of humor, so I could go along with it. But, you know, it's like they go and find Anthony Hopkins and he's like, oh, there's a problem coming. I'm going to die now. And just like fizzes away into the air. Yeah. And then like 3 seconds later, Kate Blanchett shows up on that cliff in like Norway and like smashes the hammer. And it's just like, what?
Yeah.
How did she know they were there? Like there's just things just happen all the time. You know, okay, now he's off over here, and it's like if you don't think about it too hard and just experience it in the moment, it's all fine. But as soon as you try to connect the dots, it's just like, this doesn't make any, I don't know what the hell is going on, what the motivations are for half of this stuff. But I mean, I guess I keep going back to the fact that the comedy worked well enough that I did enjoy myself, and like the cinema I was in, everyone was like laughing so much. So, you know, I think it's pretty much achieves what it sets out to do. It's just that, you know, us being, you know, a bit snobbish on this podcast, probably it's not for us really, I guess, you know, it doesn't care anymore.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree. On just hearing you talk about stuff that makes no sense. One thing that's always annoyed me again about Thor, I just still don't understand how Thor's hammer works. Like what the laws of, like what his powers are. Like sometimes he can like throw it and bring it back. He can sort of fly with it. I mean, as you said, there's something charming about the way this movie makes fun of that. Like he literally sort of talks about it, and there's jokes about how obsessed with his hammer he is, and like, which is all funny. But yeah, I don't know. I've never really understood that. But
yeah, and he has super strength. Sort of, sometimes. Like, he can throw people really far, but then other times, he just sort of just seems like a strong man.
It's, yeah.
I don't know if it depends on where he is, like what planet he's on or something.
Didn't really get, like, at the end, you know, how the creature that destroys Asgard, who was, like, meant to be the one that destroys, the only thing that could destroy Cate Blanchett, which seemed to not make sense to me, given that, like, Thor was able to beat him at the beginning of the movie, but Cate Blanchett is meant to be stronger than Thor, but then the creature was stronger than Cate. I don't know. There's a weird, like...
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
...dichotomy there that I didn't
get. I think it's because her like, strength was from Asgard itself, and so that...
Right. So the fact that it's destroying Asgard is...
Inherently destroying her.
Okay. Obviously missed that.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
very clear and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, what was I thinking? another thing that I really did like, it sort of ties in with the comedy, I suppose, is Jeff Goldblum. Like, holy crap, is he funny. Like, it's just such a weird performance. I loved every second he was on screen. He was great, I thought.
Yeah, he's Goldblooming all over the place in this movie. It's just like turned up to 10, and it's fantastic. Like he's meant to be a bad guy, but he's so charming and funny.
Yeah.
Even when he's like announcing all of these like horrific things, and there's that great scene where he like he pardons, you know, someone by poking them with his stick and they turn into goo. And you know, then he's like stepping back and he's like, oh, it's all over me. And I don't know. Every scene with him is just, really, really funny.
And the,
I thought he was fantastic.
The, Kiwi actress who's like his, like, security officer or something, who's from Hunt for the Wilder People and, like, Taika's other films. I thought, I mean, she's almost playing the exact same role as from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
But she's hilarious.
Yep. She was great.
I do sort of think I was correct in assuming that the Hulk reveal was a bit of a spoiler in the trailer. I do think that would have been much cooler if that had been a surprise going into... I mean, I guess there's Doctor Strange stuff at the start, which was a sort of bit of a pleasant surprise, given that I really liked the Doctor Strange film, even though he sort of doesn't do
that
much.
That was quite funny too.
Yeah.
That segment.
But yeah, I kind of do wish that we didn't know Hulk was in it, because that reveal is quite good and quite funny.
And they really build up to it, you know, obviously in the writing and...
Yeah, it feels like it's meant to be a surprise, the way it's
built up. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and then they just couldn't quite trust the audience, and they never do.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, that would have been quite a cool reveal.
And just going back to being a bit negative for a second, I did think some of the effects were really dodgy in this, which was surprising. I think the Norway stuff in particular looked super blue screeny.
Yes, and yeah, that's true. Yep.
I mean, there's probably a handful of other things. I mean, a lot of the bigger set pieces were obviously very well done, but there was a handful of shots that just looked very rushed. It seemed very strange to me. I don't know what happened. Mm. Maybe there were last minute changes or something. I don't know. But I think it really stood out in that section because a lot of the dialogue's pointing to how beautiful the scenery is, and it just looks like they're standing in front of a really shit blue screen or green screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that as well. And it's one of the few locations in the movie which is a real...
Yeah, just go shoot on a hill, mate.
Yeah. yeah, I don't get that.
That was strange.
What did you think of Kate Blanchett and her character / performance?
I think she was good. I mean, I think, as seems to be a trend with Marvel films, I didn't think she was great. In terms of a memorable villain, you know, she was... I feel like I'm probably going to forget about her within the next few months in terms of, you know, her role in the film. But I think she does a good job with what she's given. I think she looks great for however old she is now. She must be getting up there. You know what I mean? She looks amazing.
Yeah, she does.
And I kind of... I like that they're casting someone like her in a role like that. And I like just the fact that there seems to be so many Aussie and Kiwi actors in this film. It's really cool.
That was very cool. Yeah. I really like that. I was a little disappointed. I mean, I think she does a great job, but I was, for some reason, I guess, expecting more. Like, she's actually not in the film that much. It cuts back to her, every now and then just to see her, killing some innocent people or whatever. But yeah, I was a little disappointed that we didn't get a little more of the character's backstory. I mean, it hints that she was exiled and all this kind of stuff. And I thought there was a chance there to actually give her a little more depth. I know it's probably silly saying that about this movie, but I liked actually her first scene where she comes back and she almost seems disappointed that everyone doesn't welcome her. And I thought you could have done something there with being, the child of Odin who was sort of outcast and doesn't fit in with everyone else. I know it's not tonally what sort of is going on in the movie, but I guess I could see more potential there than what we ended up getting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a little bit of a waste, I suppose. But, I don't know, it seems to be the case with most of these Marvel films that they can't seem to get a very interesting villain. I guess Loki being the example is the one that kind of seemed to stick and stick around. Like, he's been in multiple films since. I mean, I think that's another interesting thing about this film is that it seems to sort of retcon a lot of the characters in terms of their personalities. Thor is now sort of goofy and funny, whereas before he was very Shakespearean and serious, stoic. And that was the comedy came from his misfitting with the others, whereas now he's kind of wisecracking and funny. And same with, I mean, I can't really remember how Loki was portrayed in the earlier films, but from what I do remember, he wasn't as kind of comedic and silly as he is in in this film.
I was going to ask you about that, actually, because it felt to me as well that they were quite different characters. Mm. And I wonder how going forward, you know, is that just for this film? I assume so, because Taika has such a heavy influence on it. I don't know if he's back, you know, doing Marvel stuff in the future. But yeah, I was going to ask you like how out of step with the rest of the Thor movies and stuff it was, but you kind of just...
Yeah, I think quite significantly. I think the Hulk is pretty similar. Like he feels quite the same as he has in previous films. So he's only been in a handful, I suppose. But yeah, I agree. I'm interested to see how they take this forward. I mean, I almost think they're going to do the opposite and this will be the new Thor now. Like, I feel like they're sort of reinvented him with this film. They give him a new haircut.
Yep.
Like he looks different. He's got a different vibe to him now.
Yeah.
And that'll be his new film. Just on that, I agree with you that I like Chris Hemsworth in this film. He has very good comic timing. But also, holy shit, is that guy built like a fucking god? Like how can someone have a body that looks like that, John?
I know.
Puts all other men to shame. What the hell? Yep. It is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of scenes where he's got his shirt off in this and it's just like, oh my god. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is nuts. I just like, he's almost like Arnie levels of massive. Like he's enormous.
Yeah. Unless it was all CGI.
Yeah, exactly.
We talked about the music in the trailer and how it sort of suggested a lighter tone and perhaps a sort of a poppy soundtrack, or I can't remember exactly what we said. But what did you think of the music is basically what I'm asking. Because the score is sort of starts off quite traditional and orchestral, but as the movie goes on, it sort of it becomes almost synthy and 80s-ish, and there are also a couple of those rock songs in there as well. What did you think of how that all worked?
If I am honest, I can't remember. I mean, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing that didn't really stand out to me, other than the Led Zeppelin or whatever the rock song at the very end when they're doing that the big sort of battle on the bridge. Which I think was fine, but I think at that point it was kind of, as you said as well, I was at my most disinterested because we were both at Asgard and it was another big CGI punch up. So I was kind of not enjoying myself very much in that moment. And it perhaps felt like it was trying to be a bit Guardians and have a recognizable song in there. But as for the score itself, I guess it did its job, but I don't remember it sort of standing out anyway. What about you? Did you think it worked, or was it jarring?
It's not like it was an amazing score or anything like that, but I did notice the change in it. And I think it really worked in the planet, the Jeff Goldblum planet, because that was such a strange atmosphere. And so to have this kind of, and there was lots of laser shooting and all that kind of stuff there, it made sense to have this sort of synthy score. So I don't know, I thought that was kind of a refreshing kind of change. Sort of suited it. I mean, if you wanted to be cynical, you could say that it's just another sort of 80s.
I was going to say, did you think thing? That was the case?
But then this movie is kind of, and again in particular that kind of the Goldblum planet, let's just call it that, you know, there is something sort of, I don't want to say 80s about it, but it's kind of this old sci-fi feel to it, playful action movie kind of aesthetic. So I mean again it just kind of works there, but I'd be curious whether they carry that on. You know,
That's something I don't think they would carry on.
I'm guessing not. Yeah,
but that is interesting.
But yeah, it's just something interesting. I noticed that they changed. It actually at times reminded me of the Hunt for the Wilder People score, which was also very 80s. Yeah. but felt was much more prominent in that film rather than this one.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we you know, I think I'm probably slightly more positive than you, Matt, but overall we, you know, enjoyed it and it was, you know, fine movie. Would you want to see Taika do another Marvel movie?
No. I mean, not that I didn't like this. Like I mean, I've probably come off a little bit more negative than I really am. Like I said, I did have a fun time in the cinema. Also, as I said at the beginning, I've liked his other films much, much more. So I'd much prefer him to tackle weird little indie projects. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, his next film, or at least something he signed up for, sounds amazing. It's the one of those blacklist scripts that's been sitting around for ages, the Bubbles film about Michael Jackson's chimp, that's going to be it's going to be stop motion as well, which is like three amazing things all in one. So I think I'm kind of getting my wish if that is actually still going ahead. That sounds much more appealing to me than another like Thor 4 from Taika. What about you? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I would agree. It's funny, like, his presence was so welcome in this movie. I think it would have been, you know, pretty bland if they had gotten another director on board. So I enjoyed having him there, and it made it really funny. But yeah, I agree. I'd much rather he spend time on his own original films or even sequels. I think he's also signed on or doing What We Do in the Shadows 2, right?
Yeah. Something, the werewolves one, right? It's got a funny pun for the name. I can't remember what the pun is, but it's about the werewolves, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So all that stuff is, you know, much more exciting than, you know, but then, you know, if he has to return and do a Marvel film every
That's true.
Third film,
that'd be okay.
Or something, just to, if that keeps his, like, you know, Hollywood mojo going, and then he can finance all this other stuff. I'm also happy with that.
That is true. That's really a good point. I'd be very happy with that as well, because, like, at least we'd get some funny, reasonably unique Marvel films that we can have a good time with.
Yeah.
And get the interesting stuff on the side.
Yeah. Listening to this episode of the Pre-Post Film Review. We'd love to hear what you guys thought of Raw Ragnarok, and you can email us at
It sounded like you said Raw Ragnarok then, like with an R. I don't know if you did or not. Sorry, I shouldn't have laughed.
I probably did. Yeah, well, we can leave this in. You can email us at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com and put in the subject line Raw Ragnarok and we'll get back to you. But we always reply to our emails there, and it's great to hear from everyone. So drop us a line.
That would be great. You can also get in touch on Facebook and give us a like there. We also have a Twitter account, prepostfr. So we sort of post new episodes and interesting news articles and bits and pieces over there if you want to follow along or give us a comment. The most important thing is to subscribe. However, so if you could subscribe on whatever platform you're using to listen to us right now, that'd be great. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, all the big podcast networks. Leave us a review as well if you like the show. We'd love that also.
That would be great. Thanks in advance. You can also follow us on letterboxd.com, which is a great little film website for cataloging all the movies you've seen. Write a little cheeky little review. The links to our profiles are in the show notes for that. So give us a follow over there if you want to. And we're pretty excited to announce that the next episode of along with every other film podcast in the world. Next episode, we're going to be talking about Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, which is just around the corner, Matt.
Very close. I'm very excited. We're going to be big old nerdy boys and nerd out about Star Wars.
Yeah, that'll be a big episode.
Hopefully it's good. not a
fingers
not a
crossed.
Disappointment. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Cool. We should, like, hide a fart noise in every episode somewhere. It's like a little Easter. It's like how Hitchcock appears in all his films. We'll just hide a fart.
Yeah. We should.
Just get, always use that one little sound bite.
Yeah, exactly.
In the middle of a point someone's making, just...
Oh, man. Yeah. We should definitely do that. It's like the quality of the show. It's just like, it's just down to that point now where it's just like, let's just put farts in it. And then like we'll decide to brand the podcast with that. It'll be like movie reviews with farts. And like our numbers will go up, but our self-respect will go up.
Yeah, exactly. We can review like and have however many farts as like the stars.
Yeah, exactly. I give it. 3 farts.
So dumb. Ugh.